Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's a new week. We've got new stories. We've got new stars. And we've got old presenters. They'll be cheering at the Magnus, a win on the road at last for the Newark Hockey Ladies. Lynn Coombs with their first goal for the club, Becky Wells and Captain Katie Sandell score the goals at Loughborough and the team move up to fifth in the table. And 24 hours later, they beat a Burton side who have yet to drop a point in the league, 4-0, to progress in the cup. Methinks that's a good weekend. And Lynn tells us she majestically swept the ball home for her goal. We'll see what pull off, and he says later. Newark Rugby Club score 4 tries to gain a bonus point in a tight match against Nottingham Casuals at Kelham Road. They come out 24 points to 18 and move up to 4th in the table. Only 3 points behind West Bridgeford, who lost. Grantham Town progress into the next round of the FA Trophy thanks to 2 goals in the last 8 minutes at Kidsgrove. And we've got more on all those stories with Adrian Speed, Rob Wardman and Paul Halfpenny giving their reports from the Mears, Kelham Road and the Magnus later on in the show. And of course we do our take on some of the national stories and bring you the other local headlines that made the news on another weekend in local sport. I'm Mick Bradley, he's back, and this is the unique Radio Newark Sport. So despite all the petitions and everything, he's come back.
Despite popular demand.
Despite popular demand. Yes, he's back after yet another week's holiday.
Yeah.
Only one place to start, really, Mr. Smith. Remembrance Day. I've been up in Newcastle all weekend with the boys. Both of them playing rugby. Yeah. Oh, it was cold. It was bitter. Hat, gloves, scarf, biggest coat I've got, and I'm still shivering. They're in the shorts and T-shirts. They're a weird bunch up there. They really are. Anyway, but they stopped the rugby at 11 o'clock for a 2-minute silence. And to see the kids, I mean, Thomas's group is the 12 years old, all with their arms round each other, like, you know, like they'd seen it on TV. And there was absolutely total and dead silence. It was quite moving, really, the way these kids actually respected what was going off.
Yeah.
And it did make me wonder a little bit, because I've seen the big sporting events over the weekend and I've seen lots of pictures of non-league football doing the remembrance. We'll remember the minute and a couple of minutes. And I think sport's got this one absolutely spot on. And I do think it's wonderful that at grassroots level, they take time out every year to remember on this day.
I think it's still a bit dodgy having the minutes or 2 minute silence. I think applause is a far safer one to do, because you're always going to get some idiot, aren't you?
You are, unless you're at Whitley Bay Rockcliffe and there's no idiots there at all. So
I was I was at Scarborough. Scarborough versus Accrington Stanley some years ago, and Bill Nicholson had just died, the famous Tottenham Hotspur manager, who was born and bred in Scarborough. And so they held a minute's silence for him, which was impeccably observed until one Accrington fan came in later and went, "Where are you, Derek?"
Yeah, well, if you live in Accrington, I suppose. So I found a couple of national stories that I thought might interest you. I don't know, sort of, for the last week, you've probably cut yourself away from the world and you don't know what's been going on.
No, I've been avidly reading the Daily Telegraph Sport.
Lovely. Well, England's rugby league side set up a World Cup quarterfinal against Papua New Guinea by easing past France in Perth. Wade Bennett signed won by a comfortable 30-point margin, but the Australian head coach will be more concerned of another disjointed show. It's a bit like rugby union, I suppose, really, isn't it? Still, it could be worse. The Jocks are on their way home. Another sport that they can't play. So you've been gone a week, and we've been looking all week for a sport that the Jocks can play, and we've still not found one. No, you won't. So Northern Ireland, apparently, well, they bowed out of the World Cup. I don't know if you saw the penalty on Friday night.
I didn't see the penalty, but I did listen to the 90 minutes last night.
Even Switzerland players didn't see the penalty. They never asked for it. They was as shocked as anybody when this idiot Romanian blew a whistle. I just put cheated by an incompetent Romanian referee who will probably now go on to the World Cup finals and FIFA will think he's brilliant. It was one of the worst decisions I've actually ever seen in football. It was as bad as that Maradona's handball, which wasn't the hand of God at all. It was plain and simple handball.
Hand of a cheat.
And he should have been sent off for it. I know Northern Ireland didn't score in two legs, but there again, nor did Switzerland. But how much longer can FIFA drag their heels about bringing technology into it? Because what happened on Friday has cost millions and millions for the Northern Irish economy. It's wrong. It's plain and simply wrong. In the biggest sport in the world, we still go back to the dark ages. Yeah, I know referees and umpires are there to make decisions, but for God's sake, they've got to be half decent to be there. And this one obviously wasn't. But there's a big game tonight. I don't know if you'd realise this one. Italy are in a state of tension.
Yeah,
as they bid to avoid a World Cup exit against Sweden.
It'll be the first time Italy will have not appeared at the World Cup since 1958.
And that's a long time ago. The Azzurri lost the first leg 1-0 and will fail, as you just said, if they don't win in the San Siro tonight.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper Buffon says it's an important match for us. Well, yeah, I could work that one out. I'm tense, but it's the right amount of tension. The 39-year-old Juventus goalkeeper who's retired at the end of the season wins his 175th cap against Sweden. 175!
Good grief.
I mean, come on! That's fantastic, isn't it?
Well, it's 50 more than Shilton did for England.
He's been beaten this week as well, this weekend. Paul Bastock has played his 1,250th first-class match. He was in goal for Wisbeach Town in the FA Vars at the weekend, and he's now overtook Peter Shilton. 1,250. He's 47 years old.
Bless.
This is an interesting one. Final of the three. Following a court judgment in favour of former club director Valerie Blecon against the Oyston family, whereby Blecon was awarded £31 million in damages, the long-term future of Blackpool FC has been plunged into doubt if a buyer for the Bloomfield Road outfit cannot be found by January 2018. They could fold or drop into the Vanarama National League for next season. They've got to pay, the Oystons have got to pay 10 million quid by January.
Yeah.
So Blackpool could, on the back of that, drop out the league. There's the thought. And that means they could be playing Boreham Wood, which will be a bit of a setback for them, because Boreham Wood's only just beat them 2-1 in the cup. Local. I went to Blackpool once, never again. Newark Hockey men are still looking for their points of the season. A 2-0 defeat against Repton, who actually go top of the table, so it's probably not a bad result. Newark Town lose for the 12th time in 13 outings and remain rooted to the bottom of the Central Midlands table. The latest reversal 6-2 at Station Road against Appleby Frodingham. Better news though for Collingham, 2 goals by George Aspin and a 3-1 victory at Dronfield, lifting the village team into 3rd in the table. Not a bad effort. And another flow serve, and another Saturday off for flow serve, which is why we're not talking to Rocha tonight. So they put new signing Tyler Martin into the reserves. The reserves won 4-0. Tyler Martin got a hat trick. You put your number one striker in the reserves, get him match fit.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And this is the time when we traditionally look at what's going off on a Monday night in slightly larger world than Newark in football.
What was wrong with Blackpool?
Chips, beer, scousers, dirty, noisy, everything that Cornwall isn't. Never, ever again. Told you a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, that the former Mansfield Town manager had quit at Boston United. And we wondered what happens to somebody next. We spoke, didn't we? We said, oh, Mourinho gets £10 million and goes on holiday. What happens to the Adam Murrays of this world? Well, quite simply, you become assistant manager at Guiseley under Paul Cox. Now, if you remember, Paul Cox was manager when Adam Murray was his assistant at Mansfield. That's how it all started at Mansfield, isn't it? He's gone with Paul Cox to Guiseley. The next bit of all this is what happens when you're ultra-successful, like Shaw Lane Academy, who's got 3 promotions in 4 years, they've been on television in the FA Cup, they're top of the table, and everybody's looking at them. So Craig Elliott is now the new manager of Boston United. I'm afraid that's the way it works. If you're successful, that's it. Somebody's going to come and poach you, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you remember the year Newark Town won the Central Midlands Cup?
Yeah.
And started the next season with probably about 2 players of that team because everybody had been poached.
Yeah.
Sometimes success is not always cracked up.
No, it's very much true. It's particularly that Newark Town side, because good grief, weren't they a good, good bunch of lads.
If they'd have stopped together, and you know, by 3/4 of the way through the foreign season, most of them come back because the grass was nowhere near as green as it was promised.
That's still probably the best football match I've ever seen.
Louth, wasn't it? Louth won the championship, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And Newark Town
was
on the back foot all match and won it.
It was at Alfreton Town, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Craig Lamb was the star of the penalty shootout.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yep, it was a cracking match.
That was a great day out.
Yes, that's one of the days you remember.
After the game, I actually drove to the game.
Right.
And after the game, I went to the Broadway and had 2 pints and had to go home because I was smashed out of my head on 2 pints because I was just pouring it on pure adrenaline. It was a fantastic football match.
You're glad he's back, aren't you? In the FA Trophy, Cleve Forbes made a draw at Endersford. I mean, Cleve Forbes have come on with leaps and bounds. They made a draw at Endersford. I'll come back to what happens next in a minute. In the Vars, there's not many of our local teams left, but I'll go through the bits and bobs that we always talk about. Worksop won 1-0 at Dunstan. Dunstan, Geordieland, that anybody to go up there and win is a good result.
Yeah.
So they won. AFC Mansfield lost 2-0 at Hinckley, so they are out. The Alders North Shields, they're through. 2-1 victory over Knaresborough. Whitley Bay. I've been to Whitley Bay. That's better than Blackpool. They're also through. They beat Thornaby 4-2. Central Midlands Football League side, Pinkston, took on Desborough, 4 divisions between them, and it went to extra time after finishing 4-4 at 90 minutes, and Desborough come out 7-4 in the end. The only other Step 7 side appearing in the competition is Eastwood Community, and they beat Leicester Navarra 2-0, so they are now the last Step 7 side in the country in the FA Vars. Now, this is this interesting argument that people have. Is Central Midlands better than the Notts Senior League?
I'd say there's not much in it.
Not many Notts Senior League teams can enter the Vars because they haven't got floodlights. So that is the first thing. I think the best of the Central Midlands is better than the, than not Senior League. I do think there's not such a gap in the teams in the not Senior League. No. Okay, Flow Server doing well, I know that, but I think the best of the Central Midlands, i.e. the guys that's paying lots of pennies, are good, and Eastwood Community are through to the next round. And believe it or not, they're drawn away to Desborough. So they can have a word with the mates at Pinkston, can't they, and find out how they got on. Holbeach, Lincolnshire team, Holbeach lost 5-0 at Walsall. They're out. Into the North East Counties League, just one result. Clipson lost 3-2 at Handsworth. Played 17, lost 17. Sometime we're going to sit here and what... I mean, I like Clipston. It's a lovely ground. Some good memories on there. Mm. Saw Nguyen won the Sunday Intermediate Cup on there. One of the best sort of matches I've ever seen on there was Gary Breeden's first match for Flowserve, when Flowserve was in Division 1 and Clipston was flying high. And Flowserve won 3-2 and Breeden got an hat-trick. And I shan't go into the John O'Hanley story afterwards because that's not for radio. Suffice to say that Breeden didn't know what the heck he'd let himself in for. I'll let you work the rest of that for yourself, folks.
Yeah, well, I think I know the story very well.
But a Breeden hat-trick, and so good memories. But it was vandalised the other week.
Was it?
I mean, vandalise your own village's football club. Come on.
Yeah, mate.
That's just unbelievable. Anyway, there was about 150 turned up to watch that match. That was some good coppers through there. That they need. The FA Vars third round draw has been made today, and as we said, Desborough are playing Eastwood, the last semi-local team in it. West Auckland are playing Whitley Bay, the one I'm looking at, and Pontefract are playing Worksop. You see now we're stretching ourselves, aren't we? Isn't football strong in the North East, the North West, and strong down south? But this Midlands gap, we don't seem to do too well. In the FA Trophy, we're going to talk a bit more about Trophy in a minute with Speedy. In the FA Trophy... the next round of that was also drawn today, which apparently is the third qualifying round or something ridiculous. The next round, the big boys, the real big non-league boys come into it. So that's where we are. Brackley are playing Salford City. We always like to keep an eye on the class of 92, because if there's proof beyond anything, where money can take you. If Cleethorpes win the replay, they're at home to Spennymoor. Well, Spennymoor's a big name in non-league football. I'd save the ground from one to Speedy. He can tell you all about that. Gainsborough at home to Stafford Rangers.
Ooh.
You'll like that one, won't you? Boston United are at home to Kidderminster. And Truro City travel to Lewes.
I'm going to Gainsborough on Saturday.
Are you?
Gainsborough Trinity versus FC United of Manchester.
Well, you can go again in a couple of weeks' time and see him play Stafford Rangers. Let's see if we can find Speedy. It's been a while, but he's back. Speedy, hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, Adrian Speedy, our Grantham Town's top man. Mr. Grantham Town. See, we don't mess about just with anybody. We go straight to the top when we need
Speedy. Speedy.
Tony.
It's going well at the moment, Adrian. Let's first of all talk about the FA Trophy at the weekend. You went to Kids Grove. Tell us all about it.
We played well. I think we dominated the game. We had to wait until the last 10 minutes to score the goals, but I think on the balance of play we deserved to win, so it's a good result.
It was 2-0 and both goals, as you say, in the last 8 minutes. So did you go?
I wasn't there, no. I had to work on Saturday, so couldn't get there.
It was sort of interesting because the reports I was seeing sort of were kicking uphill first off.
Yeah, well, I've spoken to a couple of people and they said we dominated the possession of play. I mean, there was a lot of balls that went in the box and off chances, but on the balance of play, we deserved to win. Waited till the end, last 10 minutes to get the goals.
And the draw was today at lunchtime.
Yeah,
I've talked about some of the other games there, but I've not mentioned yours, so I'll leave that one to you to tell the listeners where Grantham are going and who they've got.
We've got a home draw against Chorley. They're in the National North League, the league above us, so it's a tough draw. They were got to the FA Cup first round and lost to Fleetwood 2-1. So it's going to be a tough game for us, but we're home, so...
They're eighth in the National League North. They've won seven, drawn five, and lost five. I think they've scored about 20-something goals and conceded 18. So it's a little bit... They don't score a lot, and they don't concede too many.
No, it looks like they keep a tight ship, and chances don't come along very often. But like I said, we're confident. We've been on a good run of late. We've won the last six games on the trot, so bring it on.
But, you know, a home game, a big crowd, you're on the way to Wembley.
a long way to go, yeah.
You've got to think like that, and why not? You just said you won the last six games on the trot. That includes five straight league wins, which I think you're, what, third or fourth in the table? 14 points better off than you was around about this time last season. Yeah. It's all going very well.
We are. We're flying at the minute. We're the top scorers in the league. Our striker's scoring goals. He's carried on from last season. He's scoring goals. So long may it continue.
And it is going. It is really going well. What I keep noticing though is more often than not you're playing Saturday, Tuesday. It must take it out of them.
I think players prefer to play. To be honest, Mick. I certainly did when I was playing. I think that's it, though. I mean, it's always been the same. The leagues try and arrange a lot of fixtures to the top end of the season. So up to the end of October, it's virtually, as you say, a game every Saturday and Tuesday night. So that when the bad weather does come, January, February, we're in front of all the fixtures. And if games do get called off, there's plenty of time to pull them in at the end of the season.
How do you go with the guys that... struggle with work commitments, or do they sort of, a lot of companies play ball, to use a bit of a pun?
I think they have to, yeah. I was fortunate enough to have a job that gave me the time to get away, and I think a lot of lads do the same. They have to sort of work their hours in different ways, you know, pull it in a different day. Work longer on a different day so they can get off early on a Tuesday afternoon.
You was all right. You found a job that finishes at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Not anymore, but yeah.
The only downer on all what's been going off is a bad injury to Luke Shaw.
Yeah, he got in a tackle, I think it was about a month ago, and he went down, and straight away he was waving, you know, signalling that he'd injured his knee, and it turned out to be a bad one. So I think he's going to be out for a long time.
I think the way I read it, it's probably going to be all season, Adrian, isn't it?
Yeah, if it comes back before the end of the season, it's a bonus.
When I first read it, I thought it was your goal scorer, so...
No, luckily not. As long as he keeps banging them in, we're
you're all right. And finally, and from Radio Newark's point of view, I keep seeing three Newark names on that starting lineup. And Reese apparently got was it man of the match on Saturday or last week? So he's back in form again. Danny Meadows, we know, is a quality player. But Tom Potts coming from Sunday football at RHP to a regular spot in Grantham Town's team is one hell of an achievement, Speedy.
It is. I mean, to be fair to the lad, he's got his head down, trained well, and he's putting some great performances. Yeah, they get the odd mistake here and there, but he's learning the game at this level. And, you know, there's players at this level who've been around a bit, and sometimes you can get caught up, but he carries on. He's got great pace and likes to tackle. And he's doing brilliantly.
And there is proof that if anybody is prepared to work hard enough, they can go up the football ladder.
Yeah, you don't win anything unless you work hard enough, mate. You can have all the skill in the world, but if you don't work hard enough, it means nothing.
And how many times have we said that about people in the past?
Exactly.
Yes, very much so. Where's Grantham's next game, Speedy?
We are away at Buxton on Saturday. And then, obviously, the FA Trophy is the week after that, on the 25th. So, we're looking forward to that.
You're looking forward to that. So big crowd. Let's see, we're trying to get a 300-plus crowd down at the Mears for that one, because it is a big game. Grantham's got absolutely nothing to lose. Go out there, enjoy it. And you never know. Next time we speak, you'll be one step closer to that Wembley dream.
Fingers crossed. Let's hope so.
All right, mate. Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye. Adrian Speed there. And I'm pleased that Grantham's doing well. I did worry after last season if they would have come in and half the team would have done it, disappearing. That. But it doesn't seem to have happened.
No. It's a lovely club. I was very proud to be commercial manager there during the mid-80s.
And they survived.
Despite that, yeah.
There you go, folks. If you have to rely on Tony Smith bringing in the money for it. Dear, and on that note, let's have a look at the Nationals.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
I'm still reeling from that. Celtic and Manchester United have expressed their support for former midfield player Liam Miller, who's understood to have pancreatic cancer. He is reportedly receiving treatment in the USA, and of course everybody in football there wishes him well. England manager Gareth Southgate says he's happy to hand out three more debuts from the bench during tomorrow's friendly with Brazil. Under 20 World Cup winners Dominic Solanke and Lewis Cook have been added to the squad alongside goalkeeper Angus Gunn. Five players made their first England appearance in Friday's game against Germany. I'm not sure about that. Caps these days, people can win them too easily. Former Man United and Wales winger Ryan Giggs has become the first director of a Vietnamese football academy. He's signed a two-year contract. Yes, Tony's looking amazed. He signed a two-year contract at the promotion front of the Vietnamese Football Talents FC. I can't take that. No more.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
I've got a lot more to speak about there, but I've just gone speechless, really. What people do for money. Really, anyway, we go back to sport and real sport, and it's new rugby club time, and of course that means it's the one and only Mr. Rugby, Rob Wildman. Good evening, Rob.
Evening, folks.
And another good Saturday. Four tries for the first team, another win, and that all-important President's jug on the bar.
Absolutely, yeah. Three wins. The seconds and thirds also had good wins. Seconds won 53-12 against Market Racing second team. So, good afternoon. A guy called Finlay Tweedy. We don't often start with the second team. Finlay Tweedy, I think he's a wing. He got three tries for the second team, 9-2. But the first team made a bit more harder work of their game. They won 24-18 against Casual, but as you were saying earlier, Mick, a win's a win, and we're now fourth in the table. And the good news, I suppose, is that the leaders, Bridgeford, they were beaten over at Dronfield. So
top
of the league has sort of tightened up again.
It's tightened everything up. Just talk us through the tries, Rob, and then I want to just go on to the league, because it's getting fascinating.
It's only getting very tight. Yeah, no, we led from memory 12-11 at half time. We got two tries in the first half. The good news there was the return of former captain Tom Cohen. He got the first try off a sustained attack, and he was playing his first game this season, first game of senior rugby. He said, I think it was a shoulder problem he had last winter, which has kept him out of the game until this month. But he made a very successful return. Young Will Ellison, one of our Colts, who made it into the first team squad this season, he got another try. He bustled off a line out, and in the second half, Mikey Boyd, who's been one of our more consistent players, a real tower of strength in the lock and position, and also back row at the moment, he scored. And the winger Robbie Hunter Shaw got the last one, who's been scoring one or two tries this season.
I was up in Newcastle, and I was sort of trying to keep your Twitter feed died in the second half. I don't know what's going wrong, what's happening. I couldn't get a tweet from you at all, and then eventually I found out that
we'd won. Yeah.
You'd gone over the line, and
I
you won.
I won't go into the murky details of my life, but
and then I looked at sort of when the tables and the results come in. Dronfield, as we've already said, beat the leaders West Bridgeford, which was a cracking score for everybody else. Ilkeston beat Colville, which amazed me, and they scored 49 points. One would assume they've got some new blood in at Ilkeston, because the team that Newark played would not have beat Colville.
We thrashed them in the early part of the season. Look, they always have a good team, so I was surprised how easily they capsized against us. So you just don't know. I don't know whether they've got new players or whether one or two players have come back in who weren't fit or perhaps weren't playing. It's very unpredictable. Obviously, Ilkeston won at home. I think every team in the league is stronger when they play at home. Looking at the results Saturday, there was only one away win. Ashbourne beat Loughborough, which is 33-31. I don't know why Lincoln Batewell Menerians was postponed. That's a surprise. Usually the league games go ahead. Very, very unusual for a league game to be postponed. I think most of the teams in the league, you know, home form is very strong.
And, of course, Matlock beat our friends down the road.
Again, Southwell, 46, they lost 46-5, so I always say I'm very old-fashioned, very football school. Let's just concentrate on our own team, and we'll worry about the opponents later, whatever the phrase is.
We'll worry about the opponents when it comes around to them being our opponents.
Yes.
But all that, I think it's about, 6 points between the top six teams now?
Yes, we were fourth on 22. The leaders of 26, that's Bridgeford. Ashbourne and Casuals, they're fifth and sixth, 20 and 21. So, yeah, the 6 points between the top six. So it has tightened up. 7 points with the top seven. And Ilkeston are only 9 points behind Bridgeford now. So the whole table has tightened up. The ones who have dropped off are Arminarians, who have yet to win a game, and I presume I'm just guessing that their game at Lincoln was postponed, probably because they couldn't, maybe not get a team together, I don't know.
It's a long way from Baycourt to Lincoln.
They've had a tough old season so far.
But, isn't it, I mean, I think it's lovely, 6 points between the top six teams, if we could just put a run, and they are putting a run together, just get that momentum going.
No, we have to get, again, I keep saying I'm a bit of an old parrot when I come on the radio, we have to get a consistent team together. We're slowly doing that in some respects. The other week, when we beat all the Laurentians, and whoever writes the match reports waxed lyrical, I think he overdid it a bit, really. And I think our lads went to Bridgeford the week later and believed their own publicity, because we produced a pretty poor performance at Bridgeford. This week we made four or five changes, so we'll see who turns up for the cup trip to Ilsdon.
Yes, that's this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 o'clock kickoff.
And there is a coach going, I understand.
There's a coach going, yes. 11 o'clock from Kellam Road, yeah. 2 o'clock kickoff over at Ilsdon in the Coventry area. Yeah.
Will Rob Wardman be on the coach?
Again, I'm not making public plans. Ilsdon, look,
you've been Ilsdon, once, haven't you? Yes.
May not want to meet me out there. In my rugby career, I had a very traumatic trip to Ilsdon. In my dim and distant past, I played for a team called West Lee, and I was in their sixth team, and we went across to Ilsdon one Saturday afternoon and got a complete trouncing, yeah.
It's like Tony Smith sitting here says to me, have you been to such and such a football ground? Yes, Tony, once.
So, my first trip back to Ilsdon in about 35 years, yeah.
Once is sufficient. Okay, let's move on to the big wide world. And it's 2 years since Eddie Jones took over as the England head coach, and an awful lot seems to have changed in those 2 years. I think he's lost one match out of 21 or 22.
Last March, yeah.
I was going to say, what's he installed into him to make it such a difference?
A good question. I think just, again, consistency. He's had good selection, inspired to put Haskell in the back row in his first season, and then they had the brilliant tour to Australia where Haskell led the way. People like George Ford, Owen Farrell coming of age as international players. Mario Itoje again, coming as a real force as a international forward, good consistent backup players as well. So I think the only danger now is how he gets a settled team together, and at some stage in the next year he's going to have to set himself on a settled team. And again, this week he's got a big decision to make. I heard who he plays at centre. Slade and Jonathan Joseph didn't really go well on Saturday, but it was Slade's first chance in a big home game. So does he keep Henry Slade at inside centre? Obviously, you'd expect Owen Farrell to come back in. They're playing Australia, so it's a big game this Saturday. And I think England will know where they are after Saturday's game.
Was he right to leave Farrell and Itoje out for the...
I was a bit curious at that. I think I'm a bit old school. I think if you're playing for England, you play your best team. And great teams emerge by consistent selection. Woodward, you just pick your best players. And if they're your best 15 players and they're the best players to take on the opponents, and then that's the way... I think the great sides emerged. Jones can do no wrong at the moment, so he's perhaps a little bit not unbalanced, but a little bit doesn't quite know. England, we've got so many good players. We've got the biggest pool of players in the world. So after the All Blacks, perhaps the All Blacks have got more quality, but we've got a greater number of players. So coaches can get a bit deceived by the sheer numbers. And you know, it's like having too many sweets in the sweet shop for the little boy. So perhaps Jones can't settle on his team yet. I think that's his big task. He's getting the 15 together and sticking by them.
I read that even before a coaching session, the coaches have a dry run of that session to make sure that there's no standing around and downtime in there for when the players come out. Is that meticulous?
These guys are highly professional. You know, they spend the entire, you know, they paid a lot of money. So no, I can understand that. I can imagine that being Jones's way. You know, the guy can. He's got the media eating out of his hand. You know, today he's come out with a quote about, you know, he was seen on TV on Saturday slamming his coaching book down when England didn't, some attack broke down, and he was seen. I don't think he was heard swearing, but he was sort of mouthed some expletive, and it was picked up by the TV cameras. And, you know, and yet this morning he's apologised, and only supposedly, are we to really believe that his 93-year-old mother rang him to tell him off? my colleagues, you've got to have a line a day from the England camp. So I've had the hat on that. A 93-year-old mother ringing. Yes, okay, maybe.
He's got the press where he wants them, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
That's the best way. Right, so it's trip to Coventry at the weekend for the ones of us that's not brave enough to go into the West Midlands. Is there any rugby on Saturday at Kelham Road?
Team at home to Retford, 2:15 kick-off. The fourth are going over to Paviers. So there is some rugby at Kelham Road, yeah.
Excellent. So if you don't want to go to Coventry, have a trip down to Kelham Road and enjoy some hospitality.
Yes, 2:15 kick-off.
In the clubhouse. Rob, as ever, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Take care, boy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I do like my Monday nights with the guys.
Yeah, there's always room for an old parrot on this show.
There's two sitting here. But, you know, if they could just now put half a dozen good back-to-back league games together... Mm. They could take charge of that division. Dronfield did them a great favour.
Because the state the league's in at the minute, two or three wins on the bounce and you're clear, aren't you?
You're clear. You know, and that's, it's, everybody, I mean, we moaned when they got relegated. We all bemoaned it. But, you know, to play in a division like that against local teams, you know, West Bridgeford and Southwell, it's what sport, to me, should be all about. Let's see if we can find Paul Halfpenny, shall we? So we've talked football and we've talked rugby, and that only means one thing. Mr. Paul Halfpenny's going to talk about hockey. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening.
And it was one of those... good weekend. Okay, I know the men lost, and we'll come back to that one in a minute, but let us stick with the ladies, if we may. And the ladies' ones are hitting the form we know they should be capable of. A 3-1 win at Loughborough on Saturday. And if I can, I told the listeners a little bit earlier on, this is what Lynn Coombs told me. We did it the hard way after conceding the first goal before she stayed up top after a short corner to majestically sweep the ball home. Her words, not mine.
As quoted by Lynn Coombs.
Yes.
And I can't argue because I wasn't there.
Becky Wells, yes. and Katie with the other goals. But that was, if nothing else, to go away and win just gets that little demon out of the Reds.
Well, not only that, you know, Loughborough Students were second in the league, flying high, going great guns. They had slipped up against one of the less fancied teams, West Bridgeford. They turned them over by a narrow margin at home. But we knew it was going to be a tough tie, but they've hit a rich vein of form, and they're playing very, very well. And from all the people who I've spoke to who were there, that they were exceptionally good, knew it were. Absolutely fantastic.
It's always difficult when you have to play two matches in a weekend, but the ladies was drawn at home in the cup, but that was the good side of it. The downside of it, they was drawn at home to Burton, a Burton side that is sitting there right on the top of the table with a 100% record. Nobody can get close to them. They'd already beaten your ladies 5-0, I think, in the league. But Burton had to to Fortress Magnus, and the Sunday coach took over, I understand.
That's correct, yeah. Ammo wasn't available this week, so he asked me to take the reins. And they were superb. It wasn't like that well-oiled machine. After about sort of 7 or 8 minutes, we were struggling to get the ball out, but a few tweaks, and we just absolutely railroaded them first half, 4-0 at half-time.
Job done.
Yeah, absolutely. And we defended resolutely. Superb defending job all the way through for 70 minutes. Really, really. We didn't give them a sniff. They had a few shots on goal, but Georgina in goal was more than adequate in goal. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And Coombsy, she's like a rock. Absolutely rock at the back there.
She's now doing what we all hoped and prayed that she would come and do.
Well, I said some weeks ago, it's going to take time for this team to gel and know everybody and you know, what's the best starting lineup, who do we have in the squad. And I think Ammo's slowly getting there now, and we're starting to see, well, hopefully starting to see the best come through.
And long may it continue. Right, a quick trip down the ladies' teams. The ladies' twos, a single goal defeat at Beeston.
Yes. Now, you've mentioned before about not wanting to interview Sally after a loss. Oh, you certainly wouldn't have wanted to anywhere near her last week. Good grief. Yeah, she her quote the week before, this is the worst ladies' second team performance I've ever seen. Her quote this week was, I take back what I said last week. This is the worst performance. So, she wasn't a happy bunny.
If I was you, Paul, I'd have probably booked into a hotel for Saturday night.
Bless her.
Well, we swapped roles as well. So she took the third 11 as they were in Nottingham. And they had a magnificent win away to the university. So they've achieved more points in this part of the season than they did in a full season last time they were in this league. So they're going great guns this season. And the ladies' fourth team, I took over with them, and I thought, oh, here we go again. We went 2-0 down, but they rallied, knocked three goals in, and came away with all 3 points, which was brilliant. Susie Gray was outstanding up front.
That, I think, puts the ladies' fourths up into third place in the table.
You are correct, yes.
Which, you know, is... It's a cracking. The standard of all four teams. This is what I want to talk to you. I've purposely managed to talk him into having the ad break five minutes early, so I've got more of a chance to have a chat to you. Is it the philosophy of the club then, Paul, that all four teams are coached the same way? So if a player has to go up from, say, fourth to third or seconds to first, they know the style of play?
Well, it is my aim as head coach to make sure that all the teams are coached. There's nothing worse than turning up for a training session and you haven't a coach and you make things up as you go along and you end up just playing a game and learning nothing. Also, it's not that good when you appoint somebody who plays for the club, has no idea of coaching styles or anything else, and they try their best, and you know, we're always grateful for people to step up and help out, but what I want as a head coach are people that know what they're on about, and if we can all sort of sing from the same hymn sheet, then you know, that's the ultimate, that's what we really want. Now, it does help that Amo's a good friend of mine, we think very similar, our aims are very similar, and of course the other three teams are coached by myself and Sal, so you know, it makes life easy within the ladies section. But the ladies section have got plenty of players. You know, we have four teams, all four teams have an abundance of subs every week. Touch wood, hopefully that will continue. So the ladies section is going from strength to strength. It's going great guns. It's marvellous, really.
Let's talk about the men, because we normally run out of time before I can hold a good conversation with you about the men. You're expecting a hard season, Paul, for the men's ones. That's actually what you're getting. But again, on Saturday, yes, you got beat 2-0, but you got beat 2-0 by the team that's now sitting at the top of the table. So you're not being hammered. You just can't seem to find that victory.
No. Saturday's performance was the best performance of the season. I was absolutely delighted with it. It was a goal in either half, so it was just 1-0, 1-0. But the lads, they were outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. There's a young man who's been involved with the club now for quite a number of years on and off. Is in the army. He's based at Catterick, but he comes over to Newark every weekend, and he's come back to the club. He's been playing really, really well. I'm not sure if he's been playing hockey in the army, but we've drafted him in. He made his first team debut on Saturday and he was outstanding. He was absolutely brilliant. Shored everything up, and we were just really, really good. We had chances, we had short corners. It was, I would say that the balance of play was 60-40 in their favour, but I was happy with the 40% that we had. It's, as I said to the guys, it's something now that we can build on. You know, we've a 2-0 against the team that's running away with it is, in my eyes, a pretty good performance. Results didn't go our way elsewhere in the league, so we do sit at the bottom now. But, you know, if we can turn other teams over now and get a bit of confidence, then who knows where we'll be after Christmas.
What are the other men's teams doing, Paul?
The second team are there or thereabouts, although we are really struggling for players. I really don't know what's happened in the last two seasons, where we've just had an abundance of players just disappear, not particularly gone to other clubs or gone to university or moved out of Newark. They just stopped playing, which has left an almighty void, really, within the club. And although the second team, in my opinion, are holding their own within that league, they've had a few good games where they should have taken all 3 points but didn't, due to, well, bad luck really with injuries and things. But the third team are completely off the mark. We've basically got a fourth team that's trying to play at third team standard. And my old club, Mansfield, who we played on Saturday, well, they just railroaded us. I think it was about 12-1. It's disappointing. The results are very, very disappointing, but what we have got is an abundance of very good young county talent. So you've got sort of under 14s, under 15s trying to take on men who've been around a while, and they'll get there. It's happened before at Newark. A few years ago when we started the third team, they got hammered every week, but the kids grow into it and they become strong, very, very strong. So hopefully in a few seasons' time, we'll be back to where we belong.
And those, when those kids become young men, they've got a lot of experience at playing
it. Yeah, I mean, you go down on a Saturday, on a Sunday morning, and on the pitch, you just see a sea of maroon hoodies, which say Notts Hockey on the back. We've got that many county players. So sooner or later, you know, it's going to come to fruition, and we will have a club that once again is competing at a much higher level.
It's coming, but let's bask in the ladies' glory for this week. Paul, thank you so much. We'll meet again next Monday.
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mr. Paul Halfpenny, and the ladies absolutely spot on, the men struggling, but you can't have been always all the time, can you?
It's good to see the ladies winning, because it's about time they started to fire on all cylinders, isn't it?
It's time they started to do
it. And it's great to see Lynn's on the score sheet as well.
Majestically sweeping majestic into the corner. Sweep. Yes, a majestic sweep, apparently. I must get other people's versions of that at some stage. That was reported to me in Newcastle.
All right.
Yeah, she was on the ball on that one. So that started this week off. Tomorrow we have a president coming to see us.
All right.
A president who's also just become a granddad.
Yeah.
So President Granddad, or Granddad President.
Yeah.
Gareth Bagley's popping in to see us, and he's going to have his look back at 2017 from grassroots athletics point of view, from his point of view, and from Neil KC's point of view. And, of course, we've got Amber as well tomorrow night, being as it's Tuesday. So Amber will have to be on the best behaviour, because the boss will be in the studio listening. Open water swimming, I've always been fascinated to why anybody would even dream of wanting to do it. Of course, Louise Orgill is a great friend of the show. And Tom Marshall, apparently, is also an open water swimmer.
I don't think I'd fancy open water swimming after watching Blue Planet last night.
No. Anyway, you can talk about that on Wednesday night, because they're both coming in.
All right.
To tell us, well, first of all, why, and who the wimp is, who wears the wetsuit and who doesn't. Find that one out. And some of their favourite swims, and probably some of their least favourite swims. That one is on Wednesday night. We're also going to talk to Paul Cowlin, because the youngsters of South Normanton Boxing Club are back at the Cedric Ford again on Sunday afternoon. Remember those there in March?
Yeah.
Well, they are back there on Sunday afternoon. So Paul's going to come on the phone and join us and tell us what progress has been made from spring until autumn with the youngsters. And then a bit of a special on Thursday night. It's when we go to the phone lines for one special guest. Remember the John Wells one?
Yeah.
This is Claire Hodnett.
All
Claire,
right.
Lady umpire, referee that started at Kelham Road.
Yeah.
And he's gone on to referee World Cups and everything that she can. So Claire is going to join us from deepest West Midlands, where she lives now, but she's a Newark girl.
Yeah.
So she's going to join us from the West Midlands, and we're going to chat.
I've been round to her house a number of times when she lived in Newark to interview her.
No wonder she's moved away.
Certainly does explain some of it.
She's become a solicitor and moved away. Well, that's one way of stopping you. But you obviously know Claire, because Claire was a regular when you was sort of. So we're gonna catch up with Claire and have a chat.
Oh, great.
And have a chat to Claire. So we're looking forward to that one immensely.
Hmm.
I know you've been sort of in a cave for a week and don't know what's been going off in the world, but you must know now that David Moyes has been made manager of West Ham.
Yeah.
It's the only job in the world that if you fail three times, you can get a top job. Brilliant. He took Stuart Pearce on today. I mean, I love Stuart Pearce as a footballer. He's my hero as a footballer. But as a manager? No, psycho. No. So he's gone there as his number two. Yeah, I mean, to use one of Mr. Clarkson's sayings, what could possibly go wrong? Can you believe it?
I'll give them till Christmas.
You know, they're both lovely chaps, and, you know, they both really are, but they failed that many times. And now they've both got the top jobs at West Ham. Still, we will see. Tomorrow night, it's all about athletics with a proper president.